And from the KTO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. Governor Mike Dunleavy has vetoed a bill that would ban firefighting foam containing PFAS. The harmful chemicals, also known as forever chemicals, have polluted drinking water across Alaska. The bill passed the State House and Senate almost unanimously. The bill's co-sponsor, Senator Jesse Keel of Juneau, said the veto came as a shock.
I'm not sure which stage of grief I'm in exactly, but I'm not past anger.
In his veto letter, Dunleavy cited concerns about a lack of alternatives for the foams, which are often used to fight fires at airports. In Alaska, firefighting foams are believed to be the single biggest source of PFAS contamination, which has been linked to a higher risk of some cancers. Earlier this year, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency proposed a new standard to limit PFAS in drinking water. Alaska doesn't regulate PFAS, but if the new federal standards take effect, then the state will be responsible for cleaning up contaminated water. Keel said his bill was designed to prevent further contamination.
Without state legislative action, the message from the Dunleavy administration is only the federal government can be counted on to get poison out of Alaska's water. I don't believe that's right.
Governor Dunleavy's office did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Lobbyists like Adam Ortega with the nonprofit Alaska Community Action on Toxics have been calling for regulations on PFAS for more than a decade. He said the veto was extremely disappointing, especially because the bill earned bipartisan support.
It's super counterintuitive, and yet again, Dunleavy does not care about his constituents.
According to Ortega, the bill's specific focus on firefighting foam still falls short of the regulations needed to curb widespread PFAS pollution in the environment.
It's the bottom of the barrel, but we're still fighting to get it passed. And as you can tell, it's not going very well.
In the past, Keel has proposed more comprehensive PFAS bills, which ultimately failed. Now, the only chance for his latest bill to pass is if lawmakers vote to override the veto. Vetoes are very rarely overridden, but Keel said he hopes to try during next year's legislative session. As Sitka heads towards a record cruise season with over 500,000 visitors, some obvious things are up, like sales tax, revenue, and traffic. But some less obvious metrics are on the rise, too. Surge health educator Amanda Roberts saw one change in particular, coming as far back as 2018, when Alaska passed its smoke-free workplace law.
Went and engaged with these businesses that were going to be going smoke-free and talked concerns. What were some maybe worries that were coming down the line with this change, which was going to be a big change for the community? And one of the things that was expressed was concerns of increased cigarette butt litter.
Roberts decided to be proactive over concerns about cigarette butts and organized a monthly cleanup focused on downtown Sitka. Since 2018, what started as a community service has become a legitimate scientific study. Roberts said the record cruise season correlates to a staggering increase in cigarette litter.
And it's prevalent, I just want to say. And I'd say typically on average, depending upon how many folks we have cleaning up, but we can have at least per cleanup within an hour and a half to 2 hour span, over 2,000 cigarette butts. We count every single cigarette butt. Wow. We track this data.
Roberts is a former smoker, about to celebrate her 14th anniversary since quitting. And while she's professionally motivated to help others quit for the sake of their good health, Roberts is continuing the butt cleanup for the sake of everyone else.
Cigarette butts are the number one littered item in the world, and they are not biodegradable. They are extremely toxic for the environment and anything that picks them up or touches them. So we definitely don't use our hands to say that. But just there are concerns about having these things littered on the ground and in our waterways and the environment.
Robert hopes that one day Sitka will consider a policy to make the park and playground areas tobacco-free. She believes it would significantly help in the effort to keep kids from taking up smoking.
One thing we're super focused on in the work that I do is reducing youth initiation to these products. And I think the more we create those environments, the more we're creating kind of that norm where tobacco use is not even visible.
And of course, fewer smokers is also one key to reducing cigarette litter. Robert says any Alaskan resident who is is eligible to enroll in a free secession program with the Alaska Quit Line, which is still available at its phone number 1-800-QUIT-NOW or online at alaskaquitline.com. High prices for grocery, fuel, and just about everything else in Alaska also make the state a high-value location for drug trafficking. During a discussion yesterday on Talk of Alaska, U.S. Attorney for Alaska Lane Tucker said that drug traffickers charge elevated prices in Alaska communities, allowing them to make far more for a single pill of fentanyl than they would in the lower 48.
For example, in Portland, where a fentanyl pill might sell for $5, and in Anchorage, where it might sell for $15, and Kodiak, it would sell for $100. So when you're looking at anywhere from 3 to 20 times the price per pill, it's a very attractive market.
So many drugs are bought and sold in Alaska that a significant portion of the state has been designated a high-intensity drug trafficking area. That designation allows federal, state, local, and tribal law enforcement to coordinate efforts aimed at disrupting the flow of drugs through the state. In recent years, much of that effort was aimed at stopping methamphetamines, but Tucker says fentanyl is quickly becoming the biggest issue due to its availability and danger.
Meth is still the number one drug that is seized and prosecuted in Alaska. It is rapidly being overtaken by fentanyl. But the reason our office is so focused on fentanyl is that it's poison. 2 milligrams can be a lethal dose. And we have seized millions of doses in Alaska, far more doses than there are people.
Meanwhile, this year was a cold and terrible year for growing pumpkins. Still, the acknowledged master of Alaska pumpkin growing proved, once again, that he's a giant in the field. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports from the Great Pumpkin Weigh-Off at the Alaska State Fair.
Dale Marshall of Anchorage, holder of the state record for giant pumpkins, rolls up with 2 colossal gourds on a flatbed. Fair officials and volunteers go gaga. Marty Robb has grown some giant vegetables herself and says Marshall is a pumpkin pioneer in a cold climate more suitable for cabbage.
Definitely. He's brought something. The world watches Dale and what he does with his pumpkin weights because it never should be done this way. Here.
She breaks off mid-sentence when she sees what Marshall has.
Oh, here. I'm sorry, but that's amazing!
Tension mounts as the pumpkins are gently transferred by heavy equipment.
Who's driving the forklift?
That's Rocky.
Does he get nervous? Oh my God, I'm nervous.
Have Dale look at that pallet. Oh.
As it turns out, the tines on the forklift are too short, and the pumpkin tips on its platform. Everyone knows what's at stake if a pumpkin is bumped too hard or, God forbid, dropped. A pumpkin with a crack or hole would be disqualified. Marshall keeps his cool and improvises a solution using lumber. Last year, his record-breaking pumpkin weighed more than 2,100 pounds. Marshall says he knows neither of his 2023 contenders can equal that.
Oh, no. 17 to 19, I'm hoping, right in there.
The scale shows one of Marshall's pumpkins is in that range, nearly 1,900 pounds. But the other is heavier.
Ready? Here.
'23, just like the year, Marshall holds both arms in the air. Pumpkin silver medalist Keith Malone of Chugiak grew a 600-pounder, a personal best. But Malone says second place is as good as it gets for him.
I trust Dale to be here with a big one every year.
Dale Marshall says after the fair, his winning pumpkin will be in his yard in Sand Lake for kids to play on. Then he'll collect the seeds and leave the remains of his giant pumpkin to the moose. Reporting from the State Fairgrounds in Palmer, I'm Liz Ruskin.
For more stories, you can check out ktoo.org.